Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 97 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. 97.
I can't believe we're three away from the big 100. Are we going to plan a special episode?
What would be special that we could do?
Well, I think what would be special is if we brought back some past hosts.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't know if we can make that happen. We'll talk offline.
I will put the feelers out.
We have to see what we can do.
Don't get your hopes up.
Maybe for a cameo. Yeah. No promises.
But how has your week been so far?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's been great. It took me a while to recover from my California trip. But I went out. I had a momentous technological purchase. I bought my first M1 iPad Pro to try to handle all of the 4K video I shot with my iPhone when I was out in Disneyland, which my old iPad could not handle at all. And man, that if you have a chance to get a device with that M1 chip, it's amazing. It just destroys even my high-end laptop. It just chews through benchmarks, renders video like you wouldn't believe.
Did you get the fancy, like the magic keyboard thing?
No, I got a knockoff keyboard from Typecase off of Amazon, which I absolutely love. It's got illuminated keys and a touchpad and everything, but is not quite as pretentious as the magic keyboard.
I have an iPad.
It also cost about a quarter of the price.
So. Oh my gosh, yes. I look at it all the time. I have the most recent iPad Air. I don't know if it has that M1 chip or not.
It does not, but that Air 4 is very
close. It's great.
Yeah, if you've got one, I wouldn't necessarily upgrade, but I was coming from an old 6th gen iPad, and it's just like night and day. Thanks to an invite passed on by our editor, Matt, I got to visit both Citricose at the Grand Floridian and also the new Moana-themed rooms at the Polynesian Resort over at Walt Disney World. So that was a lot of fun. They've kind of given Citricose a Mary Poppins vibe. Still has great food prepared by Scott Hunnell, who's also the executive chef at Victorian Albert's. And I did force him to tell me something about Victorian Albert's, which is something will happen soon. they're working on it. They're working on it. So it's going to come back at some point. So that's good news for Victorian Albert fans.
Yeah.
And totally the new Moana theme rooms were really nicely done. Refreshed, lots of USB ports and little hidden hey-hays in the wallpaper. So it was really fun to be able to go out there and see that. And
you can
find those videos on our YouTube channel right now.
Yes, as well as a photo roundup that I prepared with Seth's beautiful photography.
and other than posting my beautiful photography, how is your week?
My week has been good. I also made an adult purchase this week, though not technologically.
Purchase? Oh, my.
I bought luggage.
Oh. That is adulting.
It really hurt me, but I needed it.
I need new luggage. My suitcase that I use for carry-ons is crazy heavy. Like all the stuff I stuff into the suitcase weighs the same as the suitcase itself.
I need
to find one of these like super lightweight suitcases. What did you invest in?
I got a couple of things from Away. I got their bigger carry-on and like a duffel thing that counts as a personal item and some other do's and does there because I have some trips coming up.
Good for you.
Yes, I'm very excited.
This is not a paid endorsement.
No, this isn't. No, I bought those with my own money, unfortunately. So
they want to send you some for free now. Please feel free.
Yeah, well, then I'll have two sets of luggage. Let's see, what else did I do this week? I watched Jungle Cruise.
Oh, I'm so jealous. You're going to have to tell us all about
yes,
that.
We will talk about that. And then, gosh, the other thing that I did wasn't super exciting. I've been playing Skyward Sword, the remake of the Zelda, not the remake, but the remaster of the Nintendo Wii game. It plays great in handheld with the revamped controls that they did to map the old Wii stick controls. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's about it.
I'm ashamed to say I put way too many hours over this week into they just released the remastered version of Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Oh my
which
god.
Is a game I remember from like 15 years ago or whatever.
Same.
And, yeah, they Xbox Game Pass, it's included now, and yeah, I probably put way too many hours into grinding races.
I vividly remember playing, I had that for 360, or my dad had it, and I remember playing the campaign, and it was basically just run from the cops.
Yep.
The game.
Run from the cops, and then be the cops and smash into everyone.
Yes, that was the best part.
That's the fun part.
No shame in that. But let's get into the news. I'm dying to talk about Jungle Cruise.
Let's do it.
All right, I don't have a visual for Jungle Cruise, so I put up my tweet review that I posted at 12:06 a.m. Central when the social media embargo lifted. I have two reviews for this.
Two reviews.
I will let you pick which one you want to hear, the cynical one or the not cynical one.
Wow, which is the honest review?
Probably the cynical one.
Okay, let's hear it first.
Okay, it's fun. However, if you were to take Pirates of the Caribbean Curse of the Black Pearl and you turned it into a Mad Lib sheet and you erased all of the proper nouns, places, things in it and replaced it with things from this movie, beat for beat, it's the same.
Yep. Well, I mean, they picked a good movie to copy.
You know,
I think that Pirates, the first movie at least,
is killer.
Was creatively successful and definitely financially successful. So if they're trying to launch another franchise, that's a pretty good template to follow. I know The Rock is going to be The Rock.
Yes.
And Emily Blunt is going to be Emily Blunt. But what I want to know is how is the performance by the backside of water? Who did they cast? Because this is an important part.
They cast like a like 6-inch wide bamboo water chute. And it was like a gag that The Rock did, not like a natural thing that exists. Yeah.
Right.
There's a cold open in the film that basically gets everything that you expect them to do out of the way.
Right.
That you will either love or you will hate it. just because of the nature of the beast. But
at least they get it out of the way early. So you're not like waiting the whole movie for them to do the Jungle Cruise jokes.
It feels very 1999 Mummy in a lot of its comedy.
Well, I'm kind of a fan of the 99 Mummy, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. Okay.
No, I mean that with all the love and positivity that I could muster. The Rock and Emily Blunt are great together, but my suspension of disbelief can only carry me so far, and I do not believe that The Rock is anyone but The Rock. I'm sorry. I just can't.
But I don't think he's really trying to be anyone but The Rock. No matter what role he's playing, he's kind of got a wink to the camera where it's just underneath it, I'm just a wrestler doing a bit. You know?
Exactly. But he, like, somehow he kind of leans into the fact that, like, he knows that this is super gimmicky. And it works. I'm not going to lie. As cynical as my honest review was, it does work. It is really fun. The sets and the stunts are massive. Like, I just kept thinking about the wheel sword fight from Pirates 2, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as far as like the scale of the stunts that they did. Okay. The CGI is a little questionable at times, but it's really dark in the sequences that feature it super heavily, so it's a bit more forgiving.
Right.
And then there are Jesse Plemons. We have to talk about Jesse Plemons. He plays Prince Joachim. I hope I'm saying that right. He corrects someone for saying it incorrectly in the film. And he
he'll come on and correct you too.
He is a German prince, and he sings and speaks in German multiple times throughout the movie. And it is horrifying because this is the guy in Breaking Bad who trapped Jesse in a cage outside in the baking sun for hours and days. And it's a monster.
And now he's doing musical comedy. In German.
Yes. All right. But he is deliciously evil. I think he said in interviews more recently that he went for it and almost overacted this role, but it's so good. He did absolutely great. Paul Giamatti, I wanted more of him. He's not super present, which
kind
of made me sad.
You always want more Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
You never have enough.
And then there's one more thing that I want to mention that I forgot about until I was watching the movie. Metallica contributed to the score.
Okay. Is it like a classic Metallica song or do they record like, okay.
All right. Just go with me on this.
I'll wait for that record, for that needle drop.
Do you want me to tell you what it is? I mean, it's not a secret.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, it's a rearranged Nothing Else Matters.
Okay.
And
is it good or is it bad?
Okay.
Well, if you have to think that hard about it.
No, it's, I don't know if it works for the film as a whole, but when it came on, I was like, oh, this is so cool. And the arrangement of it is beautiful, and it's almost like chunkier and harder than like the actual song from 92. Yeah, it's like really heavy, chunky guitars in there, and it's just in one sequence of the film and then never again.
All right. So two most important questions before we move on from the Jungle Cruise. Number one, is there a credit scene, mid-credit, post-credit scene?
No. I even watched through the whole thing. The credit sequence, though, is lots of hand-drawn, like, you know, those books that show, like, specimens of things and, like, anatomical drawings? That's kind of what the credits are like, and they're really beautiful hand-drawn art, but no end-credit sequences, no mid-credit sequences, no stingers like Pirates 1 with the monkey, nothing like that.
And, does the movie have any of the, shall we say, ethnically insensitive elements that have been now removed from the actual ride?
There is one character in the ride that is in the film, but not as you would expect them to be.
Okay.
That's big enough. Yes. Matt, we've been talking in our group chat about how none of us really knew that this character was in the film, but if you went looking for it, you could figure it out. It's not like it's a secret or anything, but it's just not heavily featured in any of the marketing or the trailers.
Gotcha.
So just keep an eye out. It's not quite the ride, because the ride is not high-flying adventure, you know, monsters and stuff. But it captures the spirit of it while trying to make it something else, which is what Pirates set out to do 20 years ago or whenever that came out, 2001.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, 20 years ago.
Really? I'm old.
Wow.
But it definitely feels like if this does well, there is opportunity to take it further. Otherwise, it's pretty self-contained.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is on my to-see list.
I definitely
haven't gotten out to see Black Widow yet. I just thought I'd make it this week, but didn't quite happen. Maybe next week.
I definitely want to see it in a theater, because I watched it on my iPad.
not the optimal experience.
No, but I had my AirPod Pros in, so I at least had some like decent sound quality. But I really want to catch it in a theater if possible. Might do that next week. This next piece of news has nothing to do with Orlando, but it sounded really cute and the video is adorable, so I wanted to talk about it.
It's both really cool and kind of creepy.
Yeah.
The idea is that Japan is getting a museum exhibit of Pokemon fossils. Basically, it says, well, what if Pokemon were real and were around at the time of the dinosaurs? So we're going to put actual dinosaur fossilized bones right up next to artistic sculptures that show us what Pokemon would look like if they were dead and buried for a million years.
Well, they're fossil type Pokemon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I did not see in that video a desiccated skeleton of Pikachu, which is probably the one thing that would get me to go to that. I can remember as a kid going to the Museum of Natural History in New York City, which had an amazing dinosaur collection, and they had a baby dinosaur still in the shell, like it had been fossilized as it was starting to hatch. And I want to see like a Pokemon ball with like, you know, a fetus Pokemon inside, half developed before it could break free. I think that would be amazing.
Well, they all hatch from eggs, so
yeah.
But
even
they're
ones
really
that look like mammals. They still hatch from eggs. It's
all hatch
biologically
from eggs.
They're all platypi, I guess.
But they have a ton of sculpted versions of the Pokemon. So like Omanyte, I think, is one. The names are hard. I'm going to be real. Omanyte and Aerodactyl, which are both Gen 1. So if you played like Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, that's what they're from. And then they have life-size fossil displays of more dinosaur-style Pokemon. And they released a video of a very cute paleontologist Pikachu walking around
the
exhibit.
It's like dressed like Alan Grant from Jurassic Park.
I love it so much. could you imagine if they put Pokemon in Universal finally and we got like the crossover costumes?
We can only dream.
I would die. But this exhibit is traveling to, I think, 4 total museums across Japan. And it's to encourage kids and young adults to explore paleontology as a career path, which is really cool. And everyone loves Pokemon.
Especially dead ones, apparently.
Well, as long as it's not Pikachu or Eevee or any of the prefecture mascots, I think we're good.
Okay. Just the C-listers.
Kings Island Camp Cedar has finally opened to guests after a slight delay, kind of putting a hamper on things. This luxury outdoor resort offers a kind of camping style escape for those looking to just get away from it all or kind of tack it on to their Kings Island vacation.
Yeah, I guess this is King Island's answer to Fort Wilderness Campground at Disney World, except it's more like glamping. They've got, you know, RV hookups, but also these cottages that look more like tiny homes that you'd see on a HGTV episode. Really modern and luxurious almost on the inside, but really tiny on the outside. And then got some really nice features, everything from Wi-Fi to your own fire pit, and all sorts of facilities like, you know, picnic tables and indoor spaces with fireplaces and pretty much everything you'd want from a resort, just a little more rustic.
Yeah, they have both a family and an adult pool area, a food truck style food court area, which is also really neat. Mm-hmm. Though I don't think they're literal trucks. It looks like they're just the shipping containers. and then other amenities that they've got are golf carts, walking trails, dog park, and then later this summer, children's play structure, bocce ball, and shuffleboard court are expected to go.
Do not forget the shuffleboard.
No.
Shuffleboard's important. We'll get more to shuffleboard later today.
Yes. And then they also do complimentary shuttle from the campground to Kings Island, which is always nice. And they have vacation packages where you can bundle both the park and a stay at the resort, which is neat. So definitely check that out. If you are more keen on camping and less so on traditional hotel stays, this might be for you. Mm-hmm. For those who have been sick and tired of camping out on Main Street USA waiting for a cavalcade, I have some great news for you. They finally put the times for the surprise and delight cavalcades in the My Disney Experience app.
Little less surprise, but just as much delight.
Yes.
You know, I think the key to cavalcades being socially distant was not so much the randomness, you know, but more that there's so many of them and that they happen so often that there's no reason to camp out for any particular one. And at a certain point, when you have people who want to see a particular character, it almost becomes counterproductive making it random, because then people feel like they've got to stick around longer than they would if they just knew when it was happening. So I think the randomness was fun at the beginning, but this was probably the right choice to make now.
Yeah. So now if you go to the My Disney Experience app, and this is for all of the parks, not just Magic Kingdom, you can check out the various show times throughout the day, as well as what the next one is, which I thought was really nice. So if you're looking, you don't just see 5-6 show times. You see the one that is the closest to when you're checking the app, which is always handy. Yeah.
And as far as I know right now, this is only in Walt Disney World. Disneyland wasn't really doing the character cavalcades. They just actually kind of started the other week while I was there with a few of them. I saw Anna and Elsa going out on a float. And I think saw a Tinkerbell maybe, a couple others. But I think in Disneyland they still are not listing those show times anywhere.
Are they using the Magic Happens floats or other floats?
There was a big, like, Mickey Mouse drum float that I think might have been all the way from Soundsational.
Yes.
And then the Anna and Elsa float, I'm not sure where that was from. It could have been from, I don't think it was from Paint the Night, but it was maybe from an earlier daytime parade.
Hmm. I hate that they just opened Magic Happens and then 2 weeks later the park's closed.
You know, I haven't heard anything about that coming back yet, but I hope it does because they invested enough time and money in building that parade. They should give people a chance to see it.
Yeah, and then same with Walt Disney World. I mean, at this point, we're going to get cavalcades for the 50th, and we're going to have cavalcades for the foreseeable future. So who knows when or even if Festival of Fantasy will come back?
Yeah,
because they're...
I missed that dragon.
Yeah.
But we can definitely talk about live entertainment at Walt Disney World. I think that's a whole subject unto itself.
Yes, we will, actually, very soon. Over at Disneyland Paris, now that things are kind of leveling out over there, they have announced their Halloween and Christmas festivities with the Disney Halloween Festival starting on October 1st, running through November 7th with Halloween night festivities, which is very
just
exciting.
Just one night.
Yep. If you're not there on October 31st.
Very exclusive over there compared to the Halloween parties we have in Orlando.
And then Disney's Enchanted Christmas running from November 13th through January 9th. So you get a week of Diet Disneyland Paris before they switch from Halloween to Christmas.
It's more than we get here. I think we get about 3 hours off.
That's the fastest change ever. The event, the details seem to be kind of sparse for now, though tickets are available. You can expect to see, for Halloween, lots of villains coming around. Get to ride the rides like Phantom Manor, Tower of Terror. No overlays or anything announced at this time, at least. And then for Christmas, they'll have the beautiful Christmas tree out, and then snowfall from the sky, characters coming out, Santa Claus, all that jazz. And then they will also be doing a New Year's Eve party, but details on that will be released at a later date.
Yep. And before you start planning your trip for either of these events, make sure you look into the vaccine passport system that they have over there. You they've got a new mandatory system for entering pretty much any public venue that you have to comply with if you're going to visit.
Yes, we talked about that at length last week. Yep. So
Just go back and listen. Rewind to last week's episode and listen to that.
Yeah. Now, Seth, I know you'll be able to speak at length about this one. Scream and Stream has announced this year's theme with clowns versus zombies. And I know you got to get a sneak peek of it a while back.
Yeah, I got to see a little taste of it. And it was at an undisclosed location.
They've
now announced that it's going to be actually located at the Oviedo Mall, which is a great choice because this is the same mall where Penguin Point Productions, which is a local theater company, has taken over like a whole wing of the mall, basically. With they have a theater, they have costume and makeup shop. They have a really cool like vintage store, and they sort of create a whole kind of like little cultural community around that mall.
Cool.
And there's also an escape room and a brewery, and so that's all right there. They got plenty of open space in that parking lot, because other than that, the rest of the mall hasn't been doing all that great. It's does a lot better than some of the other malls in the area. Malls are tough right now, but this will definitely, I think, bring some interest in the area. Patrick Broussard, who's well known to us from Halloween Horror Nights, is helping spearhead the creative for this. I like the fact that the last time we did this Scream and Stream, it was basically you were in a car because we're in a pandemic and you got to be in a car. There wasn't really a good motivation for you to be in a car. Now they've kind of like written a storyline that's more interactive. There's actually things for the visitors to do, like the driver obviously will just be driving, but other people in the car can shoot guns at the clowns and or zombies. I'm not sure which is worse, like clowns versus zombies. Like, let them fight it out. Like,
yeah.
I'm not getting in the middle of that one. You guys go at it. But there's even like this interactive box that you get to carry in your car and affect things by hitting buttons at different times. It's a lot of really kind of neat ideas blending haunted house with high-tech interactivity, and Patrick's got a great imagination, so I'm looking forward to this one for sure.
I'm really excited to see the gamification of this concept.
Yep.
Because I mean everyone's been, at least I would hope, on some kind of shooter-based dark ride in their lives, and this kind of takes it and puts it out in the real world but makes it scary and not like Boo Blasters on Boo Hill scary.
Right.
Like, I want to be afraid that someone is going to climb into my car. But not really.
Not really. Yeah, I'm sure it will all be done in a safe and controlled way.
Yes.
But, you know, the key is taking something that's safe and controlled and making it feel out of control. And I got to say, the little tiny preview that I saw, which involved some kind of explosive effects and a lot of fence rattling and lunging. And it was pretty good little taste of what they've got in store. I'm looking forward to it.
I have one question that I'm going to need you to find out for me, though.
Okay. All right.
Sunroofs on cars. Are you going to be able to,
Is it like the drive-through safari where they tell you if you've got a rag top, just don't go because the monkeys are going to just tear it open?
Yeah. Or like you pop out of the sunroof and you're like able to spin 360 to get everything around you? I need to know.
You are not Baby Driver, okay? It's going to be driving through this at about 4 miles per hour, hopefully.
So then it's safe.
Perfectly safe. Perfectly safe. I'm still wearing my seatbelt if you're driving, that's for sure.
I'm not driving. I will get scared and accidentally floor it.
I'm much more concerned for the performers than for the people in the passenger.
I would be too. Speaking of Halloween, SeaWorld has announced more details about their first ever Hollow Scream, including a new haunted house that, from the sounds of it, seemed to be taking place in the Antarctica playground area over there.
Okay.
Or well, something.
Antarctica or Wild Arctic? That's my question. Because
we were discussing it in the group chat. Yeah. You
know, it could go either way. My thought is because the Wild Arctic, that simulator, needs to be put out to pasture, and and they could easily, you know, shut that down and put the a walkthrough in the queue. And then if they actually use the Wild Arctic, like
the walkthrough, queue? Awesome.
the exit queue, that would be amazing, because that's such a well detailed walkthrough experience. And it would be so easy to, you know, throw some characters in there. That would be really neat. The other thing, I guess they could, you know, the Antarctica ride hasn't really held on to its popularity. Maybe they could do a queue through there instead. Ooh. You could just walk past the penguins.
That would be cool. Yeah. Or if they just, like, take the vehicles off the ride path.
Feel about that.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Just walk the ride path.
That would be so cool. This new house is called Beneath the Ice, and guests will be taken as part of a rescue party deep into the Arctic Circle, where a research facility and all of its scientists therein were lost. Mm-hmm. But they have been transformed into unknown frozen horrors. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm really thinking Wild Arctic, but we shall see.
Yeah, when I was reading through it, it sounded like Wild Arctic to me, but mm-hmm. I know Matt and Quinn in our attractions group chat were saying something about Antarctica. So I think there was some kind of play area. Yeah. And then there's also a new roaming haunt. I assume will be like the roaming horde zones of Busch Gardens Tampa. This mm-hmm. one's called Frozen Terror, and it will feature scary subhuman walkers with pickaxes and shovels.
Ooh.
But they're not here to help dig up survivors.
Well, I hope they don't pick on me.
They will.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
They've also announced some entertainment and a themed bar experience. The show is called Monster Stomp, and it will see Jack the Ripper in Victorian era London with a modern rock kind of spin. So I assume it's going to be like a Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review. But
it sounds very similar to the Fiends show that they do out in Tampa. I'd expect similar sort of thing with a different lead character.
Yeah. And then Tormented, the themed bar experience, will allow guests to take refuge from the wintry horrors that are outside and refuel before venturing back out to face the horde.
Now, I saw in a press release something about this bar where there will be a way where you can interact with the people who are inside the frozen and ice haunted house that we were talking about.
Oh.
I'm not exactly sure how that works. Maybe it's like a remote trigger gag that someone can hit a button for.
That would be neat.
I don't know. I don't know any of the details, but that's something to look for if you do attend.
Yeah, when I think of themed bar experience, I think of like things happening in Trader Sam's or mm-hmm. all the machinery breaking down in Oga's. So I kind of expect some similar theatrics in Tormented, but details are kind of sparse at the moment. But the event starts on September the 10th, and we are ever closer to leaving July somehow. So, won't be long now before we start learning more. And I know all of you Hall of Presidents fans have been dying to know that when this attraction will return, and we have some good news. It will be back in August.
Yay. I love Hall of Presidents. In all its forms, it's had its up and downs over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot, I think there's been a lot of fear with all the political division or, you know, recently that Disney would finally just throw in the towel. But no, they are adding our new President Biden to the lineup. We don't know exactly what he's going to do. We can assume that he'll say something, but they haven't said if he's going to be giving a big speech like the last few presidents have. We also know that former President Trump will still be in the room, taking bets now on how far into the back corner they move him. but we don't know if there's any other changes to the film or the show, but we do know that the Biden animatronic will be front and center, and from the photo that they released, he definitely looks a little more human than the last presidential animatronic we had.
It's like, no matter which political side you're on,
That Trump animatronic was not a great sculpt.
No, sir.
Not particularly flattering. I think of the fun detail that they released about this one is that on the table next to the animatronic is going to be a pair of aviator sunglasses and some Amtrak train tickets, which is kind of perfect.
They have to put ice cream. He loves ice cream.
Yep. Well, it won't.
Yeah, well. Pretend ice cream. They have said he will deliver the presidential oath of office,
yes.
But that is the extent of what they've shared. Traditionally, the president will give some kind of recorded speech that they record at the White House and then program with the animatronic. I feel like in recent past, the animatronics for the presidents, at least while I've been alive, look similar but not exact to their likenesses, like the Madame Tussaud sculpts for Biden and Vice President Harris are uncanny, like spot on sculpts, and this one is like close but not quite there.
Like I said, better than Trump.
Yes.
You know, Blaine Gibson was the original master of sculpts. He created the original Mr. Lincoln and all of the original Hall of Presidents. You know, it's part of it is that these are presidents that we have seen on TV over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Throughout our lives. And so, you know, compared to something that you've only seen a portrait of in a book, you know, your eye is not as attuned to the details. But yeah, it's been a while since we've had a president that really, like, that you didn't have to sort of squint and say, wait, is that Hillary or is that Donald? Wait, which one is it? I can't.
I still, if you look at the Donald animatronic the wrong way, they haven't given out a specific date for when Hall of Presidents will reopen, but they said August. So
we got 31-day span there, sometime in there.
It could be August 1st. It could be August 33rd. Are there 33rd? Never. So start camping out at Magic Kingdom now and
Rope drop Liberty Square.
Horror Nights fans got a big announcement for Hollywood, at least. Two fan favorites are coming back to this year's event, The Exorcist and The Curse of Pandora's Box. This is for Universal Studios Hollywood's event. And these will be joining Universal Monsters, The Bride of Frankenstein Lives, Texas Chainsaw, and Haunting of Hill House.
So these two, from what I hear, Exorcist was kind of a last-minute replacement for an IP that they were supposed to have and didn't have, so they kind of pulled this one out of the drawer. I quite liked The Exorcist when they did it in Orlando a few years ago. From what I saw of the Hollywood version, it didn't look quite as good as what we got in Orlando. But you know, it might be a case of just, you know, American Werewolf in London, I loved so much the first time. And they pretty much recreated it beat for beat, and it was never quite as special the second time around. And I hope they don't end up in a similar circumstance with Exorcist. However, with Curse of Pandora's Box, they have an interesting opportunity to take what I think was one of the worst haunted houses I've ever been through at Universal and maybe make something decent out of it. It's a great idea for an original IP house. You know, it's a classic story, and they can put their own twist on it. And I got to do this in Hollywood when I was out there last time. And the opening had this cool little pre-show with a little opening door effect. There was a really nice way to start the house, and then it became just like the worst day-glow black light hot mess. It looked so lazy. It looked so backyard haunted house. I couldn't have that one be over quick enough. I was so sorry I wasted my limited time in Hollywood. I should have gone through one of the other houses twice instead of seeing that one. But hey, they have a chance to learn from their mistakes and take a cool idea and actually make it work. So
yeah.
So go you, Universal Hollywood. You run with that.
In addition to this announcement, they finally put tickets on sale. I feel like I've been waiting for this to happen for forever, and it was getting kind of too close to call for them to put out tickets and for people to plan their trips, but they've announced their event dates, and if I remember correctly, the event runs Thursday through Sunday, and then takes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off every week from September 9th through October 31st. Mm-hmm. And they have a variety of tickets too.
And I will say, having been there, Express is a really big help out there. The event gets packed, but maybe even more helpful was doing the day to night ticket that lets you get in early, because it lets you get down on that lower lot and wait for the first few houses that open down there before anyone who's coming in just for Halloween can even get down there. I probably wouldn't have seen a third of the houses on the lower lot that I got to without that. That's probably worth the upcharge.
How would you say, because I've gone to Horror Nights before, but I don't really do the houses unless I've had a very fair amount of liquid courage, I think. What are the non-house related, what is that experience like? Or is it just you do the houses or you don't go?
So, you know, they do have scare zones in Hollywood, but because of the nature of the layout of the park, they're not as well defined, and they're kind of unavoidable, and they just sort of become crushes of people that have a few scare actors wandering around them.
Great.
I don't feel like they're as well done. They usually have Jabberwockies, which is a dance group, which is, you know, if you know the Academy of Villains, sort of like that, with less questionable offstage behavior. you know, you've got the attractions that run. The big thing that separates Hollywood from Orlando in terms of non-house content is the studio tram tour. This year, I think they hadn't had it the last time I was there. I think they're going back to having the terror tram, where you get to experience part of the tram tour and then at a certain point get to get off and walk through some of the sets. And that's a really special opportunity. And I think that alone is maybe worth doing the event for if you've never done that. It's really definitely focused on the houses.
Yeah, that's kind of what I gathered from.
Yeah.
Because even though I don't go in the houses, I watch all the videos. I watch every single one. I don't do it in VR or anything, though. I know Matt sent this past week sent us videos that were in 3D VR. Yes. I think it was of Tooth Fairy, yes,
I watched it on my Oculus Quest. And it's pretty
how
neat.
Was it?
It's, you know, it's a really cool way, if you're never going to experience it in person, where you can sort of get a little taste of it. honestly, the camera that he has is really neat, but the technology still hasn't really gotten to the point where you can do ultra low light stuff without getting lots of kind of blurry artifacts. So it's not like you don't feel like you're really there. It's a really cool kind of recreation of the experience, but you know, we still need another generation of VR cameras. But if you've got a Quest, or even if you've just got an old cardboard goggles for your smartphone, check those out, because they're pretty neat.
And we will keep an eye out for more house announcements. I've been hearing whispers of Halloween 4 or Halloween Kills.
I want Halloween 3, darn it.
I'm sorry.
Halloween. Yes,
I actually like Halloween 3 a lot.
I've been hearing the well, didn't we already get a Halloween 4? I thought we had a Halloween 1, thought, Halloween 2, and I thought we had a Halloween 4.
Maybe yes. Not. Halloween 4 was not that long ago.
Hard keeping track of. But yes, I think doing the Halloween reboot, Halloween Kills, maybe merging them into a house, that would be great.
I would love to see Jamie Lee Curtis and Judy Greer do a walkthrough video for PR. Could you imagine?
That would be awesome.
Universal, I know you listen to this podcast sometimes. You can have that one for free if you promise you'll do it.
That would be excellent.
I would die. And
I will say, if we're talking more about Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando, I did a walkthrough of the park just yesterday, and they put up staging for what looks like a sequel to Saws and Steam, a scare zone in the New York area with some distinctive logos and big barrel looking things, kind of steampunk industrial Mad Max-y stuff.
When will they do BioShock, which is basically Saws and Steam?
Basically, yeah. I would love a BioShock haunted house where I just get to hit, you know, Andrew Ryan in the head with a golf club over.
BioShock Simulator. I would love to see a
Stop reading Ayn Rand.
Physical puppet scare of a big daddy with like the drill. That would be so scary. Universal, there's another one. Come on. In our last bit of news this week, before we get to main attraction, we've got to say farewell to Happily Ever After.
See you real soon. You know, we knew that we would be getting a new fireworks show for the Magic Kingdom's 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping in the back of my mind that that would run for 18 months and that they would bring back Happily Ever After.
I think that's what we all thought.
That could still happen, because God knows so many things have glowed away forever and then been brought back a year and a half later. But at least for now, the run of Happily Ever After will end just a couple days before the new 50th fireworks start. And same thing is happening with Epcot Forever, which I don't think anyone is going to cry over.
No.
But, you know, we put up with Wishes for an awful long time. And I know there were people who loved Wishes, but I thought that Happily Ever After was a huge improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's just in its prime and still has plenty of years of life left. So I hope it does get dug back out sometime soon.
Yeah, I was there the night that Happily Ever After opened, and I think Wishes was on for like 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
So it opened in like 2017, 2018, I think.
Not that long ago.
No. Yeah, no. I remember it was after I completed my CP.
Yeah. No. Just a few years.
So it still has plenty of life. It certainly hasn't gotten old. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've been thinking about what if they say that Happily Ever After as we know it is gone, but then once the 18 month 50th celebration is up, we get like a Happily Ever After the magic is in you or something, like a subtitle, mm-hmm. Happily Ever After, that's been revamped.
Yeah, reboot.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to the coming and going of the fireworks, there's some live entertainment that is returning to the parks. Magic Kingdom is getting back the show with the worst acronym possible, Monsters Incorporated Laugh Floor. Epcot is getting Turtle Talk with Crush back. And the biggest news, I think, is Beauty and the Beast live on stage, which is an ancient show. One of
yes.
the oldest shows is coming back, which is great news for that big cast that performs in there. But we also know that the fireworks are coming back to Hollywood Studios. But, you know, I love the way you phrased it at the end of this article. This is a trickle of entertainment. Like, we're grateful
slow
for
trickle.
The crumbs that
yeah.
we get, this slow trickle. Still no word about Little Mermaid, which they had previously made an announcement insisting that the Little Mermaid show was coming back when there was a lot of rumors that it was gone for good.
Yeah.
It's nothing at all about Indiana Jones. You know, there's a lot of other live entertainment, smaller shows across the parks. It's the, you know, Castle Forecourt shows. All
Fantasmic.
These kind of things. Well, Fantasmic, of course, yeah. You know, big shows and little shows with still no word on their return. So it's every little drop of this slow trickle is nice, especially for those performers who are going back to work. But, you know, we want more, darn it.
Yeah, we're being drip fed and I'm hungry. Give me more entertainment.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. I hope Disney Enchantment is good. I've been wanting Main Street Projections for a long time. So maybe if Happily Ever After comes back, we'll get Main Street Projections with it too.
I'm hopeful that they do not learn the lesson that Disneyland seems to have learned, which is that once you have projections on Main Street, you only have to run the fireworks themselves on peak nights, and that you can make the off-peak crowd settle for just projections.
No!
Which Mickey's Mixmania only gets away with that because they have a really, really catchy soundtrack. Anything that's just, you know, Disney la 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 pretty music is going to put people to sleep if they try,
yeah.
try something like that.
Don't try it.
Yeah, don't try that. Please don't.
And before we get to this week's main attraction, let's have a yes. quick word from our sponsor.
Please.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort? Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction.
And this week's main attraction is a lot of stuff, but the main thing is Disney Cruise Line's coming back.
Yay!
Yay!
Mark your calendars, folks. August 9th is the first Disney cruise ship, which will be the Disney Dream, setting sail again from the state of Florida. And because this is Florida, there's a lot of things you got to know before you do this. Everything that we talk about might be subject to change depending on the lawsuits that have been bouncing back and forth in the courts. There's, you know, CDC versus Ron DeSantis has been going back and forth. Last I heard, it was going up to Supreme Court Justice Thomas. You're going to have to check the news to see the latest, but it looks like Disney is plugging ahead with a plan as long as they are not being allowed by the Florida governor to restrict the boat to vaccinated guests only.
Yeah.
So
with that.
Yes. So there's basically yeah, two worlds. There's the vaccinated world and the unvaccinated world, and they will mix together on this boat. If you're vaccinated, it's pretty simple. Have your card with you, your original card, to provide that proof. If you are not vaccinated, there's a long list of things that you're going to have to do. Brittany, you want to jump into some of these? Because
it's a laundry list.
Yeah, my tongue gets tired working through these.
So if you are vaccinated, you just have to provide proof, and they will be doing that through your card. They also have an online system called... gosh, what is it? It's in here somewhere. There's so many things. Inspire Diagnostics is how they will virtually determine your
safe
status.
Safe Passage is the safe brand passage. Name of the, and it's kind of like a contact tracing sort of system where you register your information.
Yes.
And that's going to be for both adults and minors. Their parents are going to have to do that for them.
If you are not vaccinated, though, you will have to provide proof of a negative COVID-19 PCR test. That's the one where they scrape your brain if you haven't had one before. It's awful.
It's a lot of fun.
I hated it. and taken between 5 days and 24 hours prior to your sale date at your expense.
Yes, they made sure to. That's number one.
Yeah.
In addition to that, you're also going to pay $65 per person for a rapid test done right there at embarkation. That's for everyone who's at least 12 years old. and then on top of that, this is going to be the kicker for a lot of people. If you're unvaccinated, you have to buy a special insurance policy that's going to cover your medical treatment or evacuation. You can buy it directly through Disney, or you can purchase it independently and provide them with a proof, but it is going to add to the cost of your trip for sure.
Yeah, it's a minimum of $10,000 per person for medical expense insurance coverage and $30,000 for emergency medical evacuation, and no COVID-19 exclusions are allowed in those policies. Yikes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be a cheap insurance. Like, if you're the kind of person who goes and buys your plane tickets and see what, $50 to for travel insurance, no way, that's too much. You're not going to want to take an unvaccinated cruise because that's going to be a drop in the bucket compared to it.
And then everyone in your party that is an adult, so I assume that also means 12 and older, will have to have a Safe Passage account from Inspire Diagnostics that has their COVID-19 testing or vaccination status on that app, so that Disney can keep a record of everything.
Yep.
And then as far as getting on the boat, once you have jumped through all of the very expensive hoops to be able to sail, stuff that you would expect, like physical distancing, hand sanitizer, required face coverings in most public indoor areas. Outdoors, I think it's fine if they didn't specify, so I assume masks are not required outdoors. Yeah. Purification systems for air quality, medical personnel on board that are trained to recognize symptoms and treat for COVID-19, which sounds scary.
Well, better safe than sorry.
Right. And then enhanced cleaning protocols. Your room will be very thoroughly cleaned before you get on the boat. And then twice daily, housekeeping will come through and do a once-over cleaning for your room.
Yeah. One thing I am looking forward to sticking around after COVID, hopefully, is that they've upgraded their Cruise Line Navigator app so that you can do some things like check-in or virtual lines without interacting face-to-face with people. I hope that they have also changed their muster system. I know a lot of other cruise lines have gone to a televised muster or virtual muster so that everyone doesn't have to line up together shoulder to shoulder on the deck before the boat can move.
Yeah. You'll also be able to use the Navigator app to chat with guest services, so you don't ever actually have to go talk to a person.
Yep, you can just stay in your cabin and not see anyone for the whole time.
I would get claustrophobic.
Like we are not we do not have on this list what I think is the biggest impact, which is among the many safety reductions to the offerings, they are not going to allow shuffleboard. I can, you know, take away the basketball court and the ping pong table and the self-service ice cream, everything else, I don't care. But a cruise without shuffleboard, how is that even a cruise? Think about it, shuffleboard is one of the most socially distant games you could possibly play. You literally have a 6 foot long stick in your hand that you could push everyone away with. I don't get it. I don't shuffleboard. It should be mandatory shuffleboard.
I really didn't think you were going to pick up the thread of shuffleboard from earlier.
That is what I was so concerned when I was all set to book, and then I saw no shuffleboard, and I just hit cancel.
Oh my goodness!
Between that and the rainforest room, is probably my favorite place on any Disney cruise boat, cruise ship, cruise line. It is inside the spa, and it is this room where it's like a giant sauna with heated tables, and they have showers with different themes, and you can like get a salt rub and just kind of sit there and soak it in. It's amazing.
That sounds awesome.
But but instead of just being able to purchase a membership that allows you free access to the rainforest room anytime during the cruise, now it's by reservation only and one party at a time, minimum spend of $175.
Oh no.
I will not be seeing the inside of a rainforest room anytime soon.
Another thing that they're doing, at least with the Disney Dream and the phased bringing back of the Disney Cruise Line, is that they are adding an additional day at Castaway Cay instead
That's
of visiting.
That's always a good thing.
I'm not going to say it because it's. I might say it wrong. The Bahamas. And that applies to select 3 and 4 night cruises from Port Canaveral. If you are planning to go, I really want to know how much the travel insurance is going to cost, because when that came up, I was like, ooh, my wallet.
If you're unvaccinated and you price out a vacation, please let us know how much that surcharge is.
Big yikes. And then also having to take those tests at your expense. Mm-hmm. Sometimes insurance policies don't cover COVID tests.
No. And I sincerely doubt, especially at that high price, that most insurance companies would take that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have to calculate all that, or go and get vaccinated. That's another option.
Yeah.
That's free.
Yeah. Get vaccinated. You can just walk into a grocery store. I mean, here we have HEB. Walk into the HEB and get vaccinated, or go to Walgreens, CVS.
Yep.
All
right.
Well, I'm not going on a cruise anytime soon.
I am early next year. I will be going on one in, I think, February.
So. On the Wish, or
no, it is actually it's a family trip on a different cruise line.
Ooh.
So I'm it's going to be my first time on Princess, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very nice.
It's the Love Boat.
Oh yeah, they bought the Love Boat. I forgot about that. But that's everything that we had to share for you this week, and we actually went over an hour and 5. Yeah.
Whoa. Well, we still have just enough time.
Yes.
That I can do the important job of reminding everyone to please head on over to Apple Podcasts, hit those 5 stars to give us a rating, leave us a review if you're feeling really generous, and please help spread the word about Attractions Magazine and the Attractions Podcast. And if you want to find out even more, you can find me anytime at theunofficialguides.com. or at the UG series on Twitter, or at the unofficial guides on Instagram.
Ooh.
And Brittany, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me at Brittany Tuttle on Twitter and Instagram. That's BRITTANITUTTLES. It's spelled funny. As well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been watching us for the past hour or so. Also, we have some listener thank yous for
that you
skipped right over.
Wow, I'm so sorry. You should do them twice now because I was trying to segue so smoothly.
You did. That's why I just
segued a little too smoothly.
I let you run with it because you were
going to get this right by our 100th episode. I swear.
This week, we have big thanks and applause to give to Darren Rawlings for signing up to an Attractions Magazine subscription. If you sign up at attractionsmagazine.com/store for either club or VIP the week after you join, you get a shout out on the podcast.
Shout. Yay.
We
shouted. And we should also shout out our sponsor once more. What do you think?
Yes. Ollie, would you like to segue into that?
No, you do that so well.
We would also like to thank Destinations with Character Travel for sponsoring this podcast and allowing us to segue smoothly into all of our segments.
We've been talking way too long. This is why we need to keep the show under an hour, because as soon as that 60-minute mark hits, we both turn into pumpkins. Brains turn into pumpkins.
Yep. And on that note, until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.